Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-.
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself
and for those facing homelessness,
because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas, big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
An Erios production.
Hi, everyone. We're back. It's season three. Hi, it's me. It's Jen Zabrowski. Welcome to We Need to Talk About Britney. I am so excited to be talking about Britney this season. It's a new day. It's a new day. Jeffrey, hi.
Jen, hello.
Producer Jeffrey's here. Guys, hi. we're going to bring it this season.
It's being brought.
And we're on a new network. We're on the Erios network. We're really excited. So please subscribe if you haven't already. Tell your friends, come on this journey. Erios has other amazing shows. I'm really enjoying listening to Filling the Void. It's a show about hobbies. Mm-hmm. Jeffrey, it's great.
Oh, yeah.
Do you have a hobby?
Multiple. Yeah, I'd say so.
Give me one. Give me two.
Hobby number one, I love organizing.
You love organizing?
I love organizing.
Okay, great.
Just like things in the right place, alphabetical,
nice.
All about that.
That's a great hobby.
Mm-hmm.
I love that.
Hobby two, I love to bowl.
Like that's a legit hobby of yours?
I love to bowl.
Oh my gosh.
Like,
all right.
It's the only thing I could do in my hometown growing up. So I have like a weird attachment to it. I'm not very good.
Okay.
But I love to bowl.
All right. We're going to unpack that after we turn this mic off. So my hobby is talking about Britney Spears, and I just took the hobby to the microphone. And I'm so glad I have found all of you. I found my people. You guys, also, I got a dog, and my dog's name is Lucky Blue, and Lucky Blue is going to be a part of this show because basically you'll just hear him kind of like jumping up on whoever the guest is. Lucky Blue has just been jumping up on people's laps and having a time, and he is, in fact, named after Britney Spears. The Lucky is all about Britney. Okay, so this season, I'm going to be talking about songs that Britney has had a hand in writing, and I just felt like with everything that's been going on with Britney, I wanted to get deeper into the mind and psyche of Britney. Now, listen, we all know that I believe that Britney's intelligence, the way she connects with the world, is through movement. So then I was like, well, how does Britney connect with people through her words and through the music that she makes? I think she brings a lot to her performances and all the recordings of all of her songs that she didn't even have a hand in writing, but like, let's talk about these songs. And Britney's written over 30 songs that have been recorded and that have been on her albums. And we're going to get into a bunch of them. And we are kicking it all off today with talking about Every Time. And this song, I think it might be Britney's greatest song that she's had a hand in writing. And it's interesting to me that it's a really stripped down and simple song. Because Britney is known for just like making such amazing songs to dance to. But it's also not surprising to me because this song, it was written in response to Justin's Cry Me a River, and it came from such a raw place and a really true place. I think that everything went downhill, but kind of was like cracked open when she had that breakup with Justin. So it really makes sense to me that some of the greatest work came out of the greatest pain in Britney's life. And her having this whole very, it's like her identity of how she understood it, just, it was gone one day, you know, once she wasn't with Justin. And she talks about this in the documentary, Britney for the Record. And she was like, if I'm not with him, well, who am I? She wrote this song with a girlfriend, too. That's the other thing. This was a woman who Britney met on her tour. And she, this other woman, Annette, was going through a breakup. Britney was going through her breakup. They bonded. They started writing music together. And they started writing this song in Los Angeles. And then they went to Italy. And they were on Lake Como having a time.
You know, like you do.
Like you do. And they wrote this song. So also imagine that. Okay, you're in Lake Como. You're in this house in Italy. And you start writing breakup music. Yes, that is where you write every time. That's where you record it. You know what I mean? That's how you do it. So that really checks out to me. And that's, I think that Britney should be writing music like that all the time. She should be with girlfriends, collaborating, writing songs about things that she wants to explore and talk about. Did you guys ever see Spring Breakers when James Franco does this? He sings every time at a piano outside, and it's just so good. You know what? I've made an executive decision. We, at the start of this episode, of every episode, we're going to play just a little snippet of the song that we're talking about. I'm going to start with James Franco singing every time. And then absolutely, that's how we're going to start this episode. Great. I think we need that, guys. I think mm-hmm. we need it. And then I think Britney does come in. So that'll be perfect. That we're going to play that rendition. So for this episode, I got to sit down with Nikki DeLoach, and she was on the Mickey Mouse Club with Britney. And she is still very good friends with Justin. Guys, it is a new season because it's official. I've made peace with my feelings about Justin. I think we're in a good place now. And I think that I needed to talk to one of his dear friends in order to open myself up to forgiveness. He was really young when he was with Britney. And, you know, young love, it's young love. And also, who's good at doing life? You know, it's hard. And he's doing the best he can. He seems to be a good dad. He loves his wife. Sorry. I'm getting texts from my friend Eric Hutchinson. He plays great music. You guys, you should listen to him. Sorry. Not professional of me. But I made peace with Justin. I keep putting my phone on airplane mode and it's not working, and it does it in the episode too. Jeffrey, what's happening? Why doesn't airplane mode work? It's because look, it's on.
It's your Wi-Fi.
So yeah. If I turn my Wi-Fi off, will it stop?
Mm-hmm.
Gosh, is that like a dumb thing? Like I should know that?
No.
Okay.
Mm-mm.
Guys, I'm learning things left and right. I'm making peace with Justin Timberlake. I'm learning how to use my phone. These are the things we'll be tackling this season on We Need to Talk About Britney. But anyways, Nikki was an amazing guest. She's an open book. Also, I think I might become forever friends with her. Jeffrey, was she giving off the vibe that she wanted to be my friend too?
I mean, she straight up said, I'll leave my kids at home and come hang out with you.
Yeah. Like, she also said that she's a collector of people and she wanted to collect me.
She was just, you vibed. Right? The vibe was there. The energy was right.
The thing is like, I really love vibing with people. When she said that I'm a collector of people, I was like, I am too. But I've been trying to just like be more chill in my life and like just kind of like I've been going more inward and not outward. Mm-hmm. So when she said that, I was like, oh my God, this is an invitation to collaborate as friends.
She wants to talk too, you know, not about Britney, about everything. Life.
Yeah, she was great.
I mean, she came here and she like dove into your psyche. It was like 2 minutes went by and she was like, what do you think the afterlife looks like?
Yeah. Like, we really did get into it.
2 minutes.
Guys, I think I might have found a new friend. That's exciting. What a way to kick off the season.
There we go.
Oh my God. Jeffrey's wearing a Lady Gaga t-shirt. It's all happening.
Here.
I also want to just talk about briefly, we've got some great new pop music out. We've got Taylor Swift, her new album Lover is out. It's so for me. There is one song on the album. Don't know the name of it, but she's talking about skipping down 16th Avenue. It's a song about, basically, it's just how, like, it reminds me of how boy crazy I was when I was 17. And it accessed that part of me. And I really like that song. As an album, as a whole, I don't know. I don't think it's that great. Lover's a cool song. And I see what she's trying to do. I don't know. For me, I think that all Taylor Swift music, it always seems like she's writing songs for other artists. I that's how I feel about her, but I think she's such a talented songwriter. So I don't know. I mean, I just made peace with Justin Timberlake. So I don't know. Anything's possible. She's great. Fine. She's great. I don't know, but I don't think she is that great. I don't know, guys. Also, Katy Perry, I think she's taking it to the next level. She wasn't really doing it for me, but these new songs that have been coming out, I think, are the best Katy Perry's been since Teenage Dream. So I don't know. That's how I'm feeling
Take
about pop.
Stance.
That's how
Do
I'm
it.
Feeling about pop music there right now. Guys, here's the hotline. The hotline's back. And that number is 814-277-3277. 814-277-3277. If you're having a Britney emergency, you can call the hotline. Here's the thing. I'm here for all Britney emergencies. Let me know how you're feeling. But when it comes to her conservatorship, listen, of course, am I curious? Yeah, I love Britney. I'm always thinking about how she's feeling, where she is right now. Like, is she in her closet trying on a new dress? Is she, like, where did those hats go that she bought on her trip to the Turks and Caicos? Did they make it back to her closet? Are they, like, lost in the back of her car? Like, I want to know everything. I'm curious. But also, I think that there's too much going on over there for us to really know what's up. We might get into it. I've got some people coming on this season who, through their own personal experience, might be able to glean a little bit of insight on how Britney might be feeling right now. But so I'm not really into scoop on the conservatorship, but if you need to talk about it, you can call the hotline and talk about it. I'm going to be playing messages in the episodes. So there's that too. Guys, I want this to be a place where we can just all talk about Britney and how she makes you feel. How does Britney make you feel? That's my main question. Guys, how does Britney make you feel? Call the hotline. Let me know. Okay. Without further ado, let's get into the psyche of Britney Spears and dive into songs that Britney has had a hand in writing. And let's hear James Franco sing Every Time.
Right now.
Jeffrey, are you ready?
I can't wait.
Lucky Blue, are you ready? All right, guys. Here we go.
Play something.
What y'all want to hear?
Something sweet. Something uplifting.
Something sweet and uplifting, huh?
Yeah. Play something inspiring.
Oh, y'all want to see my sensitive side?
Sure do. Play something fucking inspiring.
All right. This one's by a little known pop singer by the name of Miss Britney Spears. Oh. One of the greatest singers of all time. And an angel, if there ever was one on this earth. Notice me. Strong.
other friends from the Mickey Mouse Club, were you like calling them or texting like, damn,
no,
whoa, Brittany brought it. And it's like, ooh.
Oh, no, because Justin it still is like one of my best friends. So like I couldn't be like, oh, damn, Justin, she like came after you. I would never. He would be like, wait, what?
So I know that the two of you are still good friends.
Yeah.
Annie, my next door neighbor, who you know, and that's how I met you. She told me that. And so, you know, I have a lot of my relationship with Justin is very complex.
Of course, because you love Britney so much.
I love Britney so much. And, you know, and but at the same time, when I was a teenager, I was so in love with Justin, like to the point where I just like couldn't imagine, like I would go wild. I would throw myself on the floor.
Right.
Just watching the new videos, just like freaking out. Like I was so in love with him. I flashed him at a concert.
Did you?
I did.
Front row? Where were you?
I was on the side. I had really close seats to the stage, but on the side.
Amazing.
Is that my phone? It is?
I mean, no, it's mine.
Wait, hold on. I just want to make sure. No, I'm on airplane mode. Will you just double check?
That's so weird.
Or your computer?
It's not mine.
All right. Sorry, guys.
No, it's all good.
All right, I'm on airplane mode, so we'll see. Okay,
cool. There also could be something here. We don't know. Things
my
follow
husband,
me.
My husband really it has a lot of electronics, so it could very well be a secret computer. Phone
no, but
or
also
something
like
going,
huh? I tend to get like we were talking about other dimensions before you know we got on the mic, and I tend to
people
have things follow
through.
Follow me. Yes.
Whoa.
My whole life since I was a kid. So like that could also be.
Some people are here. They like
just like
they're coming
me.
Through.
Yeah.
Whoa. I love that. Really? Yeah.
My whole life. When I was a little kid, I was so scared and I wouldn't sleep alone. So I'd make my sister sleep in the same bed with me because I didn't understand the things that I saw. And then when I became adult, I was like, oh, they're angels. They're people, you know, they're people, they're things. And then I was like, not scared of it anymore. It's like. Yeah, but
and
it happens
just come through.
All the time.
I love it. Hi to everyone who's here right now. This is great.
My husband didn't believe it for the longest time until things started happening. Like we had a spirit in our house, our new house, and I was like, something's in here, and it's not totally friendly, and I can't figure out what she wants. I know it's a she, and my husband's like, you're doing it. I've been with him 20 years, so he's like, whatever, Nikki's just being weird. And then he was home alone, and the lights were going on and off, and the doors were opening and shutting, and the air conditioning was being turned on and off, like all the things were happening. And he texted me and was like, yep, you're right, there's something in the house, I want you to get rid of it.
So did you get rid of it?
I did. I had actually my friend Joe Town came by and he did a thing and it didn't totally get rid of her. And so then I had my friend Anne come and we after that, like, so we had to figure out what she wanted. And essentially what she had wanted was she had a little baby girl that she was trying to essentially usher into the world.
Okay.
And she wanted me to be the carrier. And I had just had Bennett, my heart baby, who had just gone through heart surgery. And I was like, there is absolutely no way I'm having another child. We're going to have to let her know that I'm not a safe person for this new baby. And we did. And she went away and she's never come back.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. I know that sounds really crazy, but
it doesn't.
True.
I it all checks out for me. I'm
yeah,
like,
okay,
yeah,
cool.
Okay, great. No, I'm just like, I'm really glad that she moved on. And
she did. Yeah,
you communicated. Clear communication.
Like, I'm not a safe vessel. Like, my body is very traumatized right now. Mm-hmm. I'm very traumatized right now. I know that you really want it to be me, but it's not. And then she left, and it never happened again. None of those things ever happened again.
I wish her well wherever she is. I hope she found someone to bring that baby
into
the world.
I'm sure she found the perfect, perfect vessel. But anyway, going back to that, that could also be things.
Well, I love everything we're talking about today because I did want to say that I am open and I want all of the listeners to know too, since I feel as though my relationship with Justin is so complex and,
yes.
You know, I'm going to work through it today and I'm here okay. just to –
you are a lovely person, and I and so I know that you see the best in everyone.
For
and
sure.
So I'm gonna jump in with that today.
Yeah.
So this is really healing for all of us today.
Yes.
We're just I'm here with open arms and I'm going to love Justin today in this conversation.
You are. Okay. You're gonna love him.
Well, I mean, also he's wildly talented. I will say
he is insanely talented, and I, you know, you look at so many people who are like pop stars or considered to be that, and he definitely started in that place, and I guess you can still consider him to be a pop star, but I've never known anyone to work as hard as he does. Like, I mean, really and truly, every single thing is perfect. He works until the band gets it right. He doesn't miss a beat. He's always in the studio. He's always doing, I mean, like, honest to God, I've never seen somebody who works that hard. So,
could you see that from the beginning?
Yeah, for sure. And he had the talent from the beginning. There is zero doubt, but he also, I mean, I think all of us who came out of the Mickey Mouse Club, so recently we had a little reunion. I couldn't go to the big one in Orlando because I had found out some news that my youngest baby had to have his third heart surgery. He's fine. He's good. Everything went well. But I was like, I can't. All I want to do is hold my child. But then they had a second, smaller, more intimate one recently at Disneyland. And I went, so it was a lot of like the older Mouseketeers. And the one thing we were talking about is the fact that like that foundation of an education, I would say, is like going to Juilliard for a child. I mean, you literally, there's nothing, no part of the industry that we didn't get to learn about, mm-hmm. whether it was music or acting or whatever. And the one thing we all walked away with is work ethic.
Yeah, I was going to say.
All of us.
Of course.
But Justin is not like, he wasn't one of those, he wasn't like Britney in the sense that they pulled this child in and they were like, you're going to do these songs and you're going to, you know, look like this and you're going to be like this. Justin, it was his music. It was his ideas. It was his stuff that he had been wanting to put down for a long time. So he really is an artist.
Did you keep in touch with him throughout NSYNC?
Yeah.
And like after the Mickey Mouse Club? So yes. For those listening who don't know, how many seasons were you on the Mickey Mouse Club?
So we did the last couple of seasons. The seven of us came in together. So it was me and Brittany and Justin and Ryan Gosling and Christina Aguilera. This sweet kid named Tate who ended up, he passed away and at a really young age. And then TJ Fantini. So it was the seven of us and we did the last couple of seasons of the Mickey Mouse Club together. Yeah.
That is so wild.
Wild.
And what was the dynamic like with that entire cast?
You know, we were so young. Like we were the newbies for sure coming in. And there was a definite differentiation in age. Mm-hmm. And, you know, what was really interesting is some of those older kids were like, we're over this. We're ready to, like, start our careers and our lives. Like, you know, forget the Mickey Mouse Club. And we were like, we're on the Mickey Mouse Club. Like, we were losing our minds. We couldn't believe that we were there. And most of us were from small towns. I mean, Brittany from... Is it Kentwood?
Kentwood.
Yeah. Justin was from a small place, Millington, Tennessee. You know, a lot of us were from really small towns. And here we were getting to do the thing that we've wanted to do since we were, like, born. So we were totally stoked and also very annoying to the older kids.
Would you hang out on the weekends?
We hung out. I mean, we would leave work and then go home and hang out until we had to go to bed. And then we would hang out every weekend. We were all inseparable.
And was it like Brittany and Justin?
They
smooched, didn't they? They were into each other when they were kids.
They were totally. I think Brittany was 12, and Justin was 13, and yeah, they were like. They full on boyfriend, girlfriend.
Oh my gosh. Smooching. Were they like hold hands and stuff?
Hold hands. Yeah.
Oh my God. I love it. It's like summer camp, like summer camp romance. And it was like the Mickey Mouse Club romance.
Totally.
Were there other people who were together?
Together? Well, Tony Luca and Keri Russell were together for a long time on the show until I think they were still together for like the year or two, maybe even after she left. And then they broke up. I dated JC from the time I was 14 till the time I was 17 or something?
God. Wait a second.
19 years
old? I didn't know this. This is very exciting for me to find this out.
He
no
was my
way.
First love. He was my first boyfriend. Mm-hmm.
Get out of here. Mm-mm. And you met on the Mickey Mouse Club.
Met on the Mickey Mouse Club. And then after Mickey Mouse Club, I went to L.A., to do pilot season, and then I started working as an actor. But then him and Justin, they started NSYNC. So they started that up in Orlando. So then I would fly back and forth from Los Angeles. I mean, mind you, I'm 15 years old, and I would fly back and forth from Orlando to Los Angeles. I would stay with Lynn, Justin's mom. She was like my guardian. So she was my guardian for a large portion of my life. And so that's why, like, what Justin's not just, like, he calls me sister, I call him brother. Like, he never had a sister. I'm a sister. He's like the older brother the brother I never, you know, I have a brother who's 11 years younger than me. Mm-hmm. So Justin was like my age. And so we're family. And his mom was like my guardian. And then, so I would travel back and forth from Orlando to see JC. Also my tutor who proctored all my exams and everything was still in Orlando. And I would stay with Lynn and stay with the boys. They all had a house down there, and NSYNC was starting up. And then a couple years down the road, after they had some success in Europe and everything, I became a very big secret because they weren't allowed to have girlfriends in the public eye.
Sure, sure.
According to Lou Pearlman.
Oh, sure, sure.
So I was like Lynn's friend that she would just bring on tour with her everywhere.
15-year-old friend.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
That she would just bring on tour with her everywhere. And I remember having people would ask me all the time, like, are you one of their girlfriends? And I have to be like, no, I'm just a friend. I'm just here with Justin's mom. And they'd look at Lynn and they'd look at me and I'd just be like, let's go, just run.
Oh my God.
Yeah. Cause it had to be a total secret. And then a couple years, I was like 17, Lynn wanted to start a girls group like NSYNC. And so she called Brittany. We were the first two people in the group. And then we put together five people. And as we were getting into that, we essentially got a call from Brittany's Lynn, her mom, saying, Brittany has gotten offered a record contract, a solo deal, and we have to go do it. So essentially what we believe happened is that Larry Rudolph, who is Brittany's manager, and Lou knew each other very well. Larry was looking for a 15-year-old young Debbie Gibson.
Gotcha.
And knew that Jive Records was. Lou was like, I have this girls group. I have this 15-year-old. So then introduced Brittany to Larry Rudolph, and the rest was history.
So was there bad blood? Were you
with us?
Yeah, were you disappointed?
I was very disappointed because she was so talented, you know? And I knew that if I was doing it and she was doing it, I was like, oh, I have so much confidence in our work ethic. I know how hard she works. I know how hard I work. I know the talent that we're bringing to the table. All we have to do is find three other girls. Then we're set, you know? So I was very disappointed, and those are hard shoes to fill, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
But I think it also all works out. I mean, I had a horrible experience in the music business. Sure, there were great things that happened, but all overall it was a very dark, horrible thing for me. And I realized, like, coming out of it, I was like, that is not for me. That life is not for me. I need something more stable. I need to be home a little bit more. I want a family. I don't want my family to be on the road all the time.
Were you then at that point?
I was 17, 18, 19, 20, 21. And then I finally left at 22.
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. I mean, so that's like, 6 years of doing that. Was that called Innocence?
Yeah. Okay. Spelled with S's and nobody knows why.
It was that time.
It's the dumbest thing
there
on the planet.
There were many girl groups and many boy groups the time. That...
Especially in Europe, we would get asked all the time, why with S's? Why did you? And I'd be like, you know what? If you figure out why, please let me know.
Were you like in Sweden a lot?
We were in, Germany, Austria, Switzerland. Yeah. Sweden.
I did a semester abroad when...
I got the news that Brittany and Justin broke up, I was devastated. I remember it was...
What happened? What did you do?
I was like freaking out and trying to get information. And at the time, I had...
like it's a hurricane. Like Hurricane Dorian, which we're experiencing right now. You're like, well, I just need to know if the family's okay. Are my family... Is everyone okay? And did the house survive?
And I didn't have a phone. I didn't have a cell phone. And then the only computers that we had were in the computer lab. And so I was trying to find things, but it wasn't, you know, it just wasn't as accessible as it is now.
Yeah.
And I remember my sister came to visit me. And so I met her in Germany and she brought me a stack of magazines because I would also then go out and try to find magazines in this tiny town in the Netherlands.
Yeah.
And they were like all in Dutch or then German or so I could see the pictures. But I'm like, I've already seen these pictures because it would just be a picture of Brittany and Justin. But then with like it, you know,
like when they do the heartbreak emoji. Yeah.
Yes. And it's like no more. And then it would be like, you know, lots of question marks. And then there was like the picture of Wade. I'm like, oh, there's a clue. Oh, it must have been Wade. And then like finding all of this out. It was a real time.
Yeah.
It was a real time, especially because Crossroads came out at that same time, like a few, like the month before, 2 months before or whatever. And I chartered a van to come to this castle in the Netherlands to pick. I stood up on a chair in the dining hall. It was like 80 kids would live in this castle every semester. And I stood up and I was like, does anyone want to go see Crossroads? I'm getting a van. And so there were some takers. I think there were 5 of us.
I was just going
to
say.
And we went to the closest
theater you could get to.
The next village over.
Did you love it? What did you think about the movie?
I loved it, especially because there were Dutch subtitles on the bottom. So it was in English, but then it had the Dutch subtitles. Yeah. And it was great. I was just, I was so happy. It was just like a fun, I just loved it all. You know what I mean? I was really in it. I didn't know that you dated JC. And he seems like someone who has incredible work ethic and like a real leader.
Very focused. He's very focused.
Have you seen him?
I run into him at like events and stuff like that, you know. But I think the last time was maybe the Elton John Oscar party or something. Yeah, I think that was may have been the
last. And it's like
time.
Running into your high school boyfriend.
Yeah, it is.
And it was just like with the higher stakes, I guess.
On steroids. Because, for sure. I mean, it's weird because it's like I feel so removed from it at this point. I mean, I was so in love, like crazy. I thought like I was going to die when we broke up. And It's so weird how those first like loves are, you know, for you. It's so emotional.
Darkish. Almost put me 6 feet under.
Yeah, your frontal lobe is not developed, so you're just insane. And now I look back whenever I see him and I'm like, it's so weird that we dated. That is the weirdest thing in the world. It seems like such an odd thing now in my life when
and
I
you
think
said
about
you were,
it.
You've been with your husband for 20 years.
Yeah, so I met Ryan shortly after that and we dated for 10 years before we got married.
And
yeah.
Was he in
He was in a boy band. I literally have only dated boy band members.
I like your
my whole
style,
Nikki.
Life.
That is
my
amazing.
Whole life.
Amazing. Yeah, can you sing? Can you dance?
Yes. Then. Do you guys kill it? Do you crush it at weddings? Jeffrey's loving this so much right now.
Because it's the weirdest thing, but like, was there anything better? But like, but here's the thing about my husband, which is makes him the best one of all, I'm just going to say, is my husband became an entertainment attorney. So like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So he's got the background and he's got the experience of the boy band member. He's been on stage. He's got the moves. He's got the like the charisma and all of that. Yeah, like he drives the pickup truck and like... like pumps hip hop music and he wears the baseball caps, but then he goes to work at a real job and he has a steady job and he's an entertainment attorney. And I was like, when he told me, I was like, I think I'm going to go back to LA and go back to acting. This is when both of our groups, Lou Pearlman was pretty much the FBI was on his ass.
So that was
everything
coming to
was
a close.
Over. Yeah. It was all coming to a close. And I was like, I think I'm going to go back to LA and pursue acting. And he was like, I think I'm going to go to LA and go to law school. And I was like, you know what? This might work out.
Yeah, this is going to be really nice.
Yeah, this is going to be a good thing.
What was the name of the boy band?
Take Five.
He was in Take Five?
He was in Take Five, Frosted Tips and everything.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Do you guys laugh so hard sometimes? Do you ever just like think about?
I do, but he's more like, I don't need to be reminded of what I did in my past. Like sometimes in the law firm, one of the other attorneys or assistants will find out, and then, you know, they'll print up pictures of him from back then and put them all over the walls and stuff. So he gets teased about it at work. And he's done a lot to separate himself from his past. Whereas like, I'm like, yeah, I was in a girl band. Totally. You know, I embrace it.
I'm pretty sure. So my sister went to a small college in upstate New York called Siena College.
Mm-hmm.
And she lived in Townhouse 5. And I'm pretty sure that all of the women who lived in that townhouse, that they put a picture of Take 5 on the door because of that. I'm pretty sure, if memory serves me correct, I got to talk to my sister, but I think that happened.
Find out and then let me know.
Oh my gosh, that is amazing.
Yeah.
Okay. So when I first met you, which is only, this is now the second time I've met you, but but when we met, you, because I have this, my big thing is, did Justin reach out to Brittany when she was really going through it during 2007, shaved head and that, and this whole thing?
Yeah.
And you had kind of, said yes, that he did.
Well, the thing about that period of time was that nobody could kind of get through to her. Like, I remember, you know, talking to Lynn, her mom, at one point in time, and her mom was like, can you call her? Can you just reach out to her? Can you? And I was like, Lynn, none of us can like get through to her. And this came from an interaction that Justin and Brittany had where it was at, it was the award show where she came out on stage and she was just
MTV Video Music Awards,
where she was completely out of it.
And so they did see each other backstage.
And she looked at him as if like she didn't even know who he was, which was so sad. She just, oh yeah, hey. You know, she was so out of it. She was so gone in her, I would say, mental health battle, that I don't think any of us could have actually done anything at that point in time, you mm-hmm. know, because you couldn't even get to her.
Were you so surprised that her mom called you?
No.
Okay. No. Because it was like that, like you were saying before.
Well, we grew up together, mm-hmm. you know, and I know my girl band was on tour with her for like a year and a half.
So you would open for Brittany.
Yeah, we opened for her for like a year and a half. So we went from like Mickey Mouse Club to then, you know, potentially being in a group together to, you know, then being on tour with her. So we were together a lot. And the thing about Brittany that I think is people should know is she's the most, you know, I haven't been around her in a very long time, but back when I knew her, she was the most famous person in the world who didn't act like she was famous.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50. Luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
She was so unassuming and just wanted to be a normal person, you know, and do this thing. She just wanted to be normal.
She loved performing.
And just perform. And but the fame was so huge that it was so all-encompassing, and there was no way to escape it. There was no way to get away from it. There was, you know, and she became the most famous person in the world at 15 years old. You're a child. You are still a child. So, I couldn't imagine. Like, I think I would have, I know that I would have just broken in half too. I really would have.
I know there's this Oprah interview with Britney, and Oprah is really pushing her to take responsibility for being a role model. And she's challenging Britney, and Britney's talking about how she doesn't want to be called a role model. And Oprah's like, why? And saying, because, you know, people do look up to you. And basically Oprah is saying, you don't have a choice if you are this. But I think that's a lot of pressure to put on a child.
Yeah.
And I think at
how
this
old was
point,
Britney in that? I do in remember
the interview,
it. How old was?
I believe she was with Justin. And
she like 17?
I think she might have even been 19, 20. It was, yes, because it was when, it was right after the VMAs for I'm a Slave for You. So she was 19, 20 years old.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, yes, I remember. Yes, I remember it. It's all coming back to me
that's,
now.
That's, she said, I would rather be an inspiration to people, but I don't want to be a role model because I make mistakes. And I'm learning and growing and changing.
Well, yeah, it's kind of like that thing Miley Cyrus she posted on her Instagram when her and Liam just split, and she was like, I've done this, I've done that, I've done the drugs, I've done that. You know, she listed every single thing that she's done in her life, and she's like, I am a human being who has made many mistakes. This I did not do, because I will own all of my, like, oh, I think that Miley kind of at one point in time just decided to be like, screw it. I'm going to be exactly who I am in the public eye. You can decide if you want to, you know, because Miley did the same thing of like, I'm nobody's role model. She did the same exact thing. And I think she kind of like rebelled against it because she was like, I don't want that pressure on me. Don't put that on me. If I want to make that decision myself and I want to hold myself in that place, I will do that. But you're not going to tell me what I'm going to do with my life or who, you know what I mean?
Yeah. We're just people trying to figure it out. And if you're a really good singer and dancer, I don't think that means that you need to teach every child out there how to be a good human being. Like, that's not your job.
No.
Your job is to entertain. And she happens to be, you know, one of the best at it. And she's so charismatic. When's the last time you saw Britney?
Oh, man. Probably early 20s. It's been a long time.
Wow.
I think mid-20s.
So when you got that call, you hadn't seen her in a couple
years. I hadn't seen her in a little bit, yeah.
Okay.
I hadn't seen her in a little while.
Wow.
Yeah.
And now who do you think she hangs out with? Do you and Justin ever talk about that?
No, we don't. No. But, no.
Has anyone talked to Britney?
Yeah, I know.
Do you think he's at all curious about how she's doing?
Oh, I'm sure. I'm sure. I mean, like, she was a big part of his life, you know? I'm sure he thinks about it and also, wishes for her to be happy and healthy and to have a really, really, really good life. That I know to be true. You know, but to go back to what you were saying about the, you know, that interview with Oprah, I think it's a very tricky thing. Anytime you're in the spotlight, but especially when you're younger. And I think this is the stuff that really messes with people. And, you know, Justin was really protected from it. I think that there is a completely different, there's a double standard in regards to if you're a woman or if you're a man.
100%.
If you are Britney Spears, you're going to be held to a different standard than if you were Justin Timberlake, because Justin's a boy and she's a girl, and the girls have to be perfect and they have to be good role models and they have to be all these things. And then boys can do whatever they want to do. You know, they can be rock stars. They can, like, you know, and it's messed up because it's unfair, number one, but also because I thought about this a lot too. Like, I think, you know, there is something that comes to whenever you have a career and you're lucky enough to get paid doing what you love to do, and you're lucky enough to have some sort of platform to give back and to do well, to do good and for humankind. But that's how I feel. You know what I mean? Like, that's my personal belief. And not everybody has to have that belief, because I thought about this a lot with, like, what would I have done, you know, in her? Mm. And I think that I would have probably fallen apart. Mm. I mean, like, when you can't really imagine, unless you've been there, like, what happens with these people when you're like, Justin and I was, we went to a club one time, and this wasn't that long ago. And all, and oh, he wanted I love to picturing go. This. Wasn't that long ago, and we all wanted to go, and we had to like sneak him in through the back. But then when everyone found out that he was there, we had to essentially take his baseball cap and put it on my husband and use my husband as a decoy, and then have Justin like run down a back alley and have a car like meet him to, for him to get in the car so they didn't like bum rush the cars, because there were, we went in, it was a normal club, we came out and there were thousands of people outside, and that's their life. They can't go to grocery stores and yes. dry cleaners and, you know, restaurants without bodyguards and without all of this stuff. And by the way, there are so many great things that come with their lives. Like, forget about all the money, but like, they can, the world is their oyster. They can do anything. It is a beautiful, wonderful life, but it also comes with that. And that sometimes can be paralyzing. And that sometimes can also be, as we saw with Brittany, mentally abusive.
Yes. And then especially if you struggle with mental health
yeah.
challenges
yeah.
to begin with, and you're predisposed, and then, I mean, that's just, you're in a landmine.
That's the break.
It's just like triggers.
That's
like
the break.
Everywhere.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. What I love about every time, and I obviously picked it because, you know, both Brittany and Justin, and you were there at the beginning of their romance, but that this song, she wrote this with a woman who was on tour with her and was a backup singer, and she was going through a breakup, and Brittany was going through her breakup with Justin. And so they started writing songs together at Brittany's house in LA, and then they went to Italy. And so picture this. This is, so you must know Felicia.
Yes.
Okay. So of course. It's Brittany, Felicia, this woman, Annette Artani, I believe is her name. And then Brittany's stylist, whoever that was yeah. at the time. And the four of them go to Italy. They rent this huge house on Lake Como, and they start recording songs. And they wrote this song together because they were really bonding over their breakups.
Right.
But I guess like Brittany was really involved. She wrote alone herself the music, and then the lyrics she wrote with this other woman. But I love that Brittany, because my whole thing is like, I feel like Brittany needs more girlfriends around.
Yeah.
And I was blown away. I went to her Vegas show, like I think it was maybe 6 months after it started, or maybe it was three. Can't remember, but it was for my bachelorette party, and I got to do the meet and greet.
No!
And I remember coming around. So do you know that Felicia gave the backstage tour?
No, did you know I did this? Not know that Felicia
oh my gosh.
Did it.
Nikki, it's
stop it.
Wild. Because I didn't know, when I received instructions for this, they're like, you're going to wait for Felicia. And I was like, great, great, great.
You're like the Felicia?
And it didn't compute at all. Right. I was just like, okay, I'm waiting for someone named Felicia. And then she came out and she wears these like work suits. And then they say like her name on the back.
Yes.
They say Fee, or they say, yes. And she has all these different ones.
Yes.
And I grabbed my sister's arm and I was like, that is Felicia. That's Fee. Like, I couldn't believe it. And she wrote the tour herself, and she came up with the idea and had like note cards, and she went around and asked everyone different questions on the crew. And it's like the most like homemade
yeah.
tour.
Yeah.
But you feel so close to Brittany because it is Fee.
Yeah.
But so just picturing all of them in this house just is just like the best, that she was probably like, oh my God, Brittany, that's so beautiful. I love that. I love that you write that song about Justin, honey. I love that. That's so nice. I feel
Felicia
like I was going to say something else
is
about Felicia.
She's the sweetest.
I mean, what a doll.
She's so sweet. Yeah, she's so sweet.
What a doll.
She's been with Britney since the beginning.
But also, okay, gosh, I'm just going to be jumping around because this is so exciting. Ryan Gosling. It's really interesting to me is that because I feel like when he was a kid, he was a real cut up, real goofball.
He was a real goofball. And total goofball.
It's hilarious because he's so serious now. Yeah. Well, at least that's what he presents.
That's how he presents himself. Right. For sure.
I was watching clips. He introduced you guys one number on the Mickey Mouse Club. And I was just like, look at that little cutie pie.
Yeah. He was a total jokester, silly, always joking around. Very, very charismatic. And then he became serious actor guy. But I think honestly, to be perfectly honest, I mean, he's always had a brilliant sense of humor. Uh-huh. And I think that is still very much there. And it's also what makes him a really good, funny guy in any mm-hmm. kind of role. He can kind of find that humor and he brings the charm and he brings the charisma.
The most charming. The so Notebook. Charming.
I know.
I mean... Oh, The Notebook.
Oh, The Notebook. One of the best, you know, romance movies ever.
Nick, you have Rachel McAdams vibes.
Do I?
Yes, you do.
I'll take them.
Yeah,
I'll take them.
As I'm sitting here. Yes, you do. I love. I loved when they were together.
I did
actually.
Too.
This is wow. It just always does come back to Britney for me because I lay in bed at night and I look at clips of old Britney performances on Instagram and stuff.
This is
but
amazing.
The other thing I do, it's usually when there is a lot going seriously wrong in the world, like very traumatizing things in the news.
Right.
And I need
like now.
Yeah, exactly. Now like it's all just the time. Like every day.
It's every day.
But this really started a few years ago and I would lay in bed and to self-soothe, I would look at old pictures and clips of Rachel McAdams and Ryan Gosling when they were together. But mostly, and I still do, is the clip at the MTV movie awards fantastic. When they won Best Kiss.
Yes.
And they jumped up into each other's arms and he's like holding her thigh. And then when they kiss, he also like grabs the back of her head and holds her hair. And it's like, woo.
Yeah.
It really makes me feel all the things.
Yeah.
I was so boy crazy. And now I need to access that energy in different ways now.
Right.
I've been with my husband for 10 years and I feel like you really nailed it by marrying a man who was in a boy band.
I did. That's what I'm saying. I hit the jackpot. It was a boy band member turned, you know, lawyer. Really got the best of both worlds there. Yeah.
So now when you look back, are you to the Mickey Mouse Club? Are you kind of like, it just feels like it's your childhood friends. Like your friends from summer camp.
Yeah, it's my peer group, actually. They're my peer group. They're the ones that I kind of grew up with, you know, even though the Mickey Mouse Club ended and then, you know, we all actually continued together because we all kind of went into the music business or like Carrie Russell's mom was my guardian for a while in Los Angeles whenever my grandmother had to start going back home more. And Carrie was in LA. So Carrie's mom wanted to spend more time out here. And my grandmother and her mother were good friends. So she was like, why don't you stay with Nikki? And so, you know, so all of us stayed like intertwined for many years after the Mouse Club. They're my peer group that I grew up with. And it's so cool. I mean, just even recently seeing all of these kids, and I didn't perform at this Mickey Mouse Club event that they had. I was like, no, I don't, I'm too tired for that. I just want to sit down. I want to meet some fans and hear some great stories and, you know, talk about that. But I just do not want to get up on stage. And, but everyone else did. And I was just like watching them and just like, you guys are so talented. You're so talented. I can't believe that I got to come from this like group of people that they're just so brilliantly talented. I still can't believe it actually.
What was the, did the audition process feel high stakes at
yes.
the time? And
yes.
do you remember seeing Britney and Christina?
So Britney, and so Justin and I instantly were like, hey, buddy, what's up? Like, you know how you meet somebody and you're like, we've been friends our whole lives.
Yep.
That's, you know, we met each other and it was like on. And then Britney came in and we were like, all of us just kind of clicked, me and Britney and Justin and TJ. And then there was, so I later found out that one of the things, I guess, that really impressed the executives. And so they weren't just looking, because when we went to the casting camp, there was 24, 26 of us that went to the casting camp in Florida, and we were together for like days, you know, I think like 4 days we were all together, 3 or 4 days. And we, you know, we essentially were doing all the things that we would do on the show. They, you know, songs and performance numbers and skits and all of this stuff. And we were all kind of finalizing what we would end up doing for our screen test. And but mostly they were also really looking at how do these kids get along,
chemistry, like for chemistry, sure, of course.
And yeah. Christina was always like, she was always off by herself. Now granted, she was 67 pounds soaking wet, you know, these big, really thick eyeglasses, you know.
Oh, really?
And she, yes, and she was always kind of off, very quietly off to herself. And so after the first day, I went up to her and said, hey, do you want to come and sit with us at lunch? Because she was just always by herself. And I was that kid. Like, I never wanted anybody to be eating lunch by themselves. Like, that was just, it was heartbreaking to me. And so I asked her to come and join us. So then she became a part of the group. And I had heard later that one of the people that was in the room kind of watching, like, saw me do that. And it was one of the things that made them want me to be a part of the club, was that, oh, she'll be the one to make sure that everybody's okay. Like, everybody's happy and everyone's together, and
because
she's the peacemaker.
You were the true spirit of the Mickey Mouse Club in human form. That's what the club was all about.
That's what it was about.
See you real soon.
K-E-Y.
Why? Because we like you.
M-O-U-S-E. We just were recently talking about that because there was a writer who was at this Disneyland thing for the Mickey Mouse Come Alum, and she writes about inclusivity, and she writes about diversity, and she was like, it was the one show that was on TV where anybody could turn it on and see themselves in that show. You know, whether there was Filipino and Black and Hispanic and like all sorts of like different races and different body types and different people, like every single person was represented, which was a very, 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 you know, it just didn't happen on TV back then. Mm-hmm. Now it's a big, you know, now it's like you can't have a show about kids without being diverse and being inclusive, and you should be. But back then, nobody cared about it except for the people who produced the Mickey Mouse Club. They were very much concerned with making sure that like everybody, when any kid, no matter who you were, when they turned on that TV, they could relate to someone on that show. And I just met this kid named Jorge, who's my age, who was Colombian. He's gay. And he was like, I was this young kid and gay kid in Colombia, and I had no friends. And my parents like stole cable from somebody else's house.
Oh my gosh.
And I would watch the Mickey Mouse Club every single day. And he was just like, tears in his eyes. Like, it made me feel like I wasn't alone. It made me feel like I could dream and I could hope. And I learned how to speak English watching your show. And that one day I'd get to go to America and I would get to meet you guys, and my dreams would come true too. And I was like, you are everything that the show stood for. That's what it's about. Like, you are what it was about, really.
Yes.
Or and who it was for.
Who it was for. I think about that all the time now, and all the things that I do. Or I was talking to a friend, and you do a lot of Hallmark movies.
Tons.
Now, right?
Yeah.
And I was talking to a friend who was taking a job, and I said to her, you know, think about who's sitting down and watching that movie.
Yeah.
And
what you want them to feel.
And at the time of year, and they're sitting down, and they've had, like, you know, if it's a Christmas movie, it's the end of the year, and they are, you know, wrapping presents that mm-hmm. they can't afford, and they're like, and I'm just bought this plane ticket that I also can't afford, and I'm going to see my family, and you don't know what they're about to walk in, and they just need like a glass of wine to watch this movie.
Yeah.
And it's like it's lowering their, you know, their nervous system is calming
their
down.
Their sympathetic nervous system is beginning to calm down.
Yeah,
they're starting to feel
them.
Happy. They're starting to feel like love exists and that happy endings still happen and all of, and that's why people still, that's why, I mean, 100 million people during Christmas, like, Hallmark gets crazy numbers. And I remember years ago going to my manager and saying I had done one Hallmark movie, and I was like, I'm gonna go and I'm gonna pitch them some ideas. That this was years ago, and I really want to be a part of what they're doing because I saw how it affected my community back home for me to be in one.
Mm-hmm.
And we literally like got out of Christmas Eve service early so that everybody could go home and watch the movie. And they were so excited. Here I'd been an actor and been on TV my whole life. It was like I'd never done anything. Yeah, and all of a sudden I had made it because I was at a Hallmark movie. And I was like, whoa, what is it about this that there's an energy here that, like, what is that? What are people getting fed? How are they getting fed from this? Just like Richie were saying. And it's that. It's like, you know, you just want something to make you feel good, and you want something that's going to take you out of, you know, the news or your life, or like the fact that you can't afford the Christmas presents that you're wrapping, or the fact that your kids are driving you nuts, and you just want to believe that happy endings still exist. And I love being part of a network that makes people feel that way.
Yes. And that's like also why I think people love Britney, pop stars in general.
Yes.
Is they just make you feel
so good.
So good.
Have you been to one of Justin's shows?
I have. Not in a really long time.
Okay. Did you go to, not the Man in the Woods, but did you do the tour before that?
I was with Christina.
Oh, okay. So you didn't see his, not this last tour, but the tour before that.
No.
Where he brought out the big band and he
did the whole. No. I watched, but there was a Netflix special. Yes.
Yeah. Okay. So, I mean, it's that. It's you're in the audience and you're dancing for, you know, 2 hours, and it's the most incredible. I just saw Janet Jackson, her thing in Vegas. It was the same. I didn't sit down for 2 hours, and I danced and I sang and I was so happy. That's what, like, pop music and those people, that is how they make you feel when you go and you see their shows or you listen to their music, or you're at weddings and a Britney song comes on. I mean,
people lose
their minds.
Yeah, lose their minds.
And it's because it feels so good.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
Now, okay, we're being really positive right now, so now I feel terrible asking this question, but I got you, because now it's on my mind. Did Britney and Christina get along?
Yeah.
They did?
They did. I mean, I think it became weird once they both were solo artists. And not because they made it weird, but because the people around them made it weird. You know what I mean? Like, Britney wasn't thinking about, like, Christina and like as her being like some kind of threat to her career or anything like that. Britney was like super happy for Christina and loved Christina's music and, you
would
know, Genie in a Bottle.
Would they cheer
and
each other on?
Yeah. You know, I wasn't as close to Christina. I would run into her, you know, here and there pretty often. Yes. But like I was on tour with Britney. So I was like getting to, you know, be with her on a daily basis. And she was like, she was super happy for Christina. It was the people around them that like made them, you know, made up the fight and the battle and the war and
what,
the this. And
what was it like to be on tour with Britney at the beginning?
Insane. It was both. Well, we did Britney and NSYNC. We did a year and a half with, well, we did a, like we were on tour for several years and we were both on tour with Britney and NSYNC. We bounced back and forth between their two tours and it was insane.
Oh, I 100% then saw you.
Yeah, I'm sure you did.
Yeah, I saw you at the Knickerbocker Arena in Albany, New York.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Oh yeah.
There were some girls that had a lot of glitter on them and that
was
us. That was me.
That was you.
Yeah, that
I
was
also
us.
Had glitter on. Yeah. Oh my
ridiculous
gosh.
Ridiculous amounts
really
of glitter
funny.
Just bathe in it and then go to a show and sweat. Yeah, it was insanity because I mean the crowds were nuts. And you've never recently Harry, what's his name? Styles.
Harry
Is it
Styles.
Harry Styles
yeah.
that was in what boy band was he in?
One Direction.
So he was, Casey Musgraves, who I love, was opening for him. And so I went with some girlfriends, and two of us were there to see Casey, and the other two were there to see Harry. And one of them had never been to like a pop, like a concert for like a boy band member or like a pop icon. And I was like, you've never done this? And they decided to like dabble in, you know, some, you know, extracurricular, what should I say? How do I say it? Activities beforehand. I did not. And I was like, I don't know that you should do that, because if you're about to experience something that's so insane that like, I think it's going to really freak you out. And I don't think it's a wise move for you to do. And I think you should try and stay as sober as possible. And she was like, too late. What's going to happen? And she did. She just like was like, I got to get out of here. And I had to literally get her out of the venue, because she was like, this is insane. And it's, I was like, I mean, like
hysteria,
rushing the stage, like jumping over the two of our friends that were there to see Harry, like jumped over us to get to him, to just touch him. And like, they're grown women. Okay. And they touched him as he went by. And then she turns around and screams at the top. I touched him. She's freaking out. I am laughing so hard. I'm on the ground. I was like, this is what happened to me.
I think now. Oh, lucky blue.
I'm okay.
Oh, lucky
I'm not
blue.
Freaking out. My friend just freaked out because she met Harry Styles. I was like, it's unlike any other shows or concerts that you go to, because the fans are so crazy.
And then you
about the
yeah,
artist.
And it's like, if you come in at a 5 and they come in at a 5, then all of a sudden you everyone goes to a 10 instantly, and then you jump to a 25, and 100%. It's like, I would leave my body. I went insane.
It is, and imagine, even on like a spiritual level, imagine, you know, 60,000, 50,000, however many people can pack into these places, people all leaving their bodies at the same time. Like, it's mad hysteria. I know. So being on a stage with that, and granted, when we first started, especially, it wasn't like this for Britney, because it was a lot of audience members that were like there, like loving another girl, you know. But for NSYNC, we did have to win them over. Like, it took us, you know, a couple months of being on their tour before we would get the cheers, because then we would come out to an audience full of girls that were like this. You can't see my face, but they were like, what are you doing here? And are you sleeping
with
my favorite?
Yes, of course.
You know? The answer was yes.
That must have been really convenient at the time when you got to be on tour with
That actually got very complicated, because JC and I had broken up before we went on tour with them, and it was really, really, really difficult, and emotionally just, it was awful, you know, because he was like seeing and dating and 1,000 different women, and it was in my face all the time, and I still wasn't over him, and I had to be around it every single day, and he was everywhere. You know, my heart was broken. And yeah, it was actually really, really hard. I much preferred being on tour with Britney.
Would you hang out with Britney from city to city?
Yeah.
Did you guys like eat pizza after?
Sometimes actually. Yeah. Or sometimes.
Like, would you sneak alcohol?
There was not a ton. I mean, like, there was, like, we would go out to clubs. That's what we would do. We would, like, whatever city we were in, somebody on her team would, like, find a club that we would all end up going to. So we did do a lot of that on Britney's tour with her dancers. We got really close with her dancers and
TJ?
All of us.
Yes.
And Brian and all of them. And we would all actually go out to the club and we would dance. And that's where we would, you know, drink or whatever. And none of us were old enough. But But yeah, we had ourselves a really good time. I actually loved, we had a really good time being on tour with her. It was, for me especially, much more fun.
So that
being
was
on tour with the boys.
That was the beginning of Britney. Was that her like, oop, was it her oops,
oops
tour?
It was oops. Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. Oh I know, yeah. Oh, I saw that. I saw that.
I know.
And what was, and Britney at the time was handling it all really well.
Yeah. I mean, she was still kind of protected. You know, Felicia did, especially in the beginning, I feel like she did everything she could to really kind of like protect Britney, but you kind of have to have a real team of people that kind of circle you and don't allow the outside world to get close. Like Justin's people did a really good job of that. But then, you know, his mother was by his side every step of the way. I mean, you didn't. And then he also had someone, Miss Renee Ernest, and she's since passed away. And she was definitely an angel for all of us. And she actually was the one that was responsible for me and Ryan being together, my husband. But she, I mean, she watched over him like a hawk. Nobody got to Justin.
Who was this woman?
She was his second grade teacher that came to once NSYNC started, you know, doing really well, or once NSYNC started, they hired her to come to Florida. And in the beginning, she kind of was the assistant for the group, but then also she was Justin's tutor and everything. And then it became, she was responsible for the group, and she went on tour with them, and she was the liaison, she was the person, and he was very much protected. I think that's a big difference between what Britney had and what he had, was that, you know, Britney had Felicia, but then she kind of, there was a lot of people that were pulling her and asking and asking and asking, and she didn't really have a lot of people that were around her to kind of protect her from all of that. Whereas, you know, I feel like Justin, you know, was very protected.
Are you at all surprised, and if you don't want to answer this, you don't have to, but obviously, were you at all surprised then that it was Britney's dad who was put in charge of her affairs and not her mom?
Yes. But with the caveat of when we were doing Mickey Mouse Club, her dad was not sober and he was not well, you know, so he at that point in time did not need to be in charge of her. I think that people are very different once they get sober, you know.
Yeah,
and I think that he was a very different person when he got sober and he really got his life together. With that being said, yeah, actually, but I know he cared for his daughter deeply, and I know that he wanted to be a good, somebody that she could really count on and depend on. Mm-hmm. And I think it was good that he really got himself together when she was really going through the toughest time in her life, to be able to step in and be the father figure that he should have been for years before.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. That's amazing.
Yeah.
That's amazing. Are you surprised where Britney is now in her life?
You know, I think that I feel like without that incident happening, right? Without the breakdown, without all of that happening, I do think that she would probably be in different, she would probably be where Justin is, you know, still kind of at that level and touring and making the music like he's doing and doing all of that, you know. Like, I don't know that Justin is entertaining a Vegas residency. Mm-hmm. Not that that's like a step down, or not that that's like, you know what I mean? But I think that that's probably safe for her and secure for her and probably works for her, especially with like everything that goes on with her mentally and physically and emotionally. It's probably a good place for her to be. But honestly, I don't know. I just want her to be, above all, none of this stuff actually matters unless you're happy, unless you're healthy. None of it matters. I mean, I've learned that with this whole journey with my youngest son, you know, 3 heart surgeries. His first one was at 5 days old.
And he's only how old?
He's not even 2 yet.
Oh my gosh.
And
he's a strong kid.
He's such a strong kid. And we've kind of, like, I know what life and death looks like now. And when you have that perspective, you're like, oh, none of that other stuff, it doesn't matter. Like, fame doesn't matter. Like, none of it mattered. And it never did. It never did. You know, are you happy? Are you healthy? Then that's all that matters. You know, so that's the thing. If she's healthy, if she's happy, like, that's the only wish that I have for her.
Nikki, my only wish is that you two could reconnect, and I feel like she just needs you in her life.
I would love that. I would love it so very much.
Your boys could even meet.
I know her boys are so beautiful. They really are.
Did you know Kevin Federline, like, back in the day, like, on the scene?
Just met him through being in that whole group of people. Yeah. But, like, I didn't know him. No. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Also, you don't have to answer this, but, like, when the breakup was happening, was it like, shit, I'm sorry, dude. Like, this is rough, but I went through it with JC. Did you guys, like, have, like, bonding breakup talks, or was it not like that?
It wasn't like that because, I mean, you know, pick a side. I was unjust.
Yeah, like, of course. You were like more like.
I was more like, wait, she did what with Ray? Yeah. I did see that happen on tour. I was sorry. That was happening.
Yeah, I could kind of see all that. Yeah.
But you know what? Here's the thing. They were both kids, and they were both doing their own thing. So, like, she took the brunt of it. I mean, listen, it was kind of a dick move because it was Justin's best friend at the time. So it's like, it wasn't just some Joe Schmo. They were all so intertwined,
and they, like, wrote a song for her.
So,
like,
I think that Justin felt the betrayal not only from her, it was, like, also a huge betrayal from Wade, you know? So it was, like, two betrayals coming from the same situation. But also, like, again, you're talking about a bunch of people who get very famous and very rich at a very young age. And then also
so attractive. They can move like crazy. They're working so intimately together.
Yes. And then look at what happened to Wade. Like,
no kidding. Yes. I just, when I saw that documentary, I was like, all of this now also makes sense.
Yeah.
In when he talked about how much Michael just absolutely was infatuated with Brittany.
Yeah.
And was kind of like encouraging Wade to really be involved in her life in more than one way. I mean, my sister called me right away and she was like, oh my gosh, doesn't this all make sense? Now I was like, oh my God, this makes so much sense. And my heart is breaking for everyone.
Yeah.
I don't know. Gosh, life is magical. All of a sudden, when you can just, like, kind of see how all the things connect, and it's like you're able to, I don't know any of these people. And I was like, I was able to, like, forgive. I was able to move on.
But it is like
you're like, wow. Or just to even reflect on your own life and be like, oh, this all makes sense. We truly are all just doing the best we can. And we're learning moment to moment.
Yes. And that's why I think, like, when she said, I don't want to be someone's role model, because it's like, she's like, I'm barely keeping my head above water here. You know, I can't think about, like, how every little thing that I do affects millions of people. I'm trying to just survive.
And because she's such an expert in one field, when you watch someone dance, when you watch someone perform in the way that she was, especially at, say, age 19,
dude,
like prime Britney, the best, you're seeing that. So then you expect that person to be that in all areas of their life.
It's not fair.
And you're like, that's not how God or whatever, however we get here and however all of this happens. Like, that's not how that works.
No.
Imagine her being at that level in every place in her life. Like, we cannot all be J-Lo. And look at J-Lo's not – J-Lo works really hard
J-Lo didn't become famous until she was old enough to be able to handle it. Like, there's – I mean, I – listen – I am the mother of two, and I've got 18 jobs, and I've got, like, I can barely keep my head above water. I can't imagine. And to be perfectly honest, my prayer for myself always was, like, when I was little, I was like, please, you know, I would love to be able to pay my bills doing what I love to do. Knock on wood, that happened. Great. Amazing. But my prayer was like, please don't ever let fame or something like that happened to me before I'm ready to handle it, because I saw, like, I could see it happening, and I was like, oh, that seems very scary for me. I think I'll break in half, and I feel like for a very long time when I was seeing all of my friends, like, literally become the most famous people in the world. And I could barely buy strawberries at the farmer's market. Like, I had no money. I was so broke. I was starting all over again after the music business. There was a part of me that was like, oh, I got left behind. Like, somehow I got left behind and I got forgotten and my talent got forgotten and was forgotten. And like, I don't understand. I work as hard as everyone else. Why? I don't understand. Like, why didn't I get a seed of it? And then now I look back and I'm like, I feel like I was very blessed because, yeah, I don't have, you know, $1 billion in my bank account, but I have a very wonderful, healthy, happy life, a great marriage and two kids and great friends and a great community. And I'm like, you know what? That is also success. And I'm really happy.
Huge success.
Yeah. And I'm all my wishes came true because it didn't happen to me before I was ready to be able to take it on. I don't know what I would have done. I really don't.
Oh, Nikki, thank you so much for coming and talking today.
Thank you for letting me be here.
I can't believe you came over and talked about Britney and the Mickey Mouse Club and all of it. How can people find you?
Well, Instagram, Nick Deloach, N-I-K. D-E-L-O-A-C-H. And then Twitter, it's Nikki DeLoach. And then Facebook, Nikki DeLoach. But I'm mostly on Instagram. I can't handle like all the things. I don't know how people manage them. Do they hire people to do them? They must. Like, I'm like, how do you? I can't.
You're going to have to ask Justin and let us know what he does.
He definitely does. Yeah, I think he hires someone. I think he definitely has someone that helps him out with that.
Well, Nikki, thank you again. This has just been so amazing.
We'll have to do it again.
Yes, absolutely. Oh my gosh, please come back anytime. This is kicking off the whole third season.
Did you hear that?
Lucky Blue.
Did you hear that, Pops?
Did you hear that? Oh, wow. Lucky Blue. Oh, he's so happy right now. He's smiling.
That's so fun. Oh, I'm excited. I'm honored. Thank you.
All right. Bye, guys.
Bye.
You ready for some music, TJ?
You bet. Here's Justin, Brittany, and Dale from our MMC concert singing I Feel For You.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight, and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck, Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.